everyone. This is the His Providence Church Outreach Podcast. And my name is Daniel Bourget. And for those of you that don't know, I'm one of the pastors here at His Providence Church. And this episode of the HPC Outreach Podcast is going to be about evangelism, street ministry, and outreach. And so I have Steve Salvatore here with me, my big brother. He's an elder here at His Providence Church, and him and I walk alongside each other in this ministry and other ministries here in His Providence Church. And we just have the honor and the blessing and the privilege to be able to have the heart of evangelism, right? The heart of God, the heart of Christ, the Holy Spirit with us as we enter into the cities and we venture out of the four walls of the church to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, to advance the kingdom of heaven here on earth, in New England and abroad. And so we just really want to take a time on this episode to dig deep and to just talk about what the heart of evangelism is, what we're doing in the streets of Providence, Rhode Island, the class that we teach, the heart of evangelism with School of the Spirit. We're actually teaching it right now in the Rhode Island Department of Corrections at medium security with 15 men. And we're going to talk more about that. I want to bring Steve on, and Steve and I will have this dialect. We'll go back and forth and just sharing scriptures and sharing our heart and our experiences of the evangelism and the people within the church of His Providence Church and the people that we're collaborating and partnering with outside of the four walls of His Providence and church about evangelism, about street ministry, about going out and reaching the lost. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, Steve, you know, if you want to share something.
Yeah. I always, one of the strongest things I always feel about the being called to reach the lost, like everybody is, but just to have an opportunity to go where the Lord's heart is and to feel what he feels for those that are hurting and lost and sometimes disregarded. You know, they're not in the church system. They're out on the streets. Whatever their situations, life has brought them. Just to be sent out as a fisher of men to bring them in to the house, to bring them into the kingdom. There's nothing better. Nothing I would not rather do. People say, "Oh, it must be hard going up to that population." Not really. You know, they're lost. The fact that you go to them and they know that you care enough about them. Somebody is paying attention to them because they already know this situation that they're in and what they've done that's allowed it or circumstances. But just to bring them the love of Jesus with no other agenda, just to let them know that Jesus loves them, that God so loved them, that he died for them, he sent his son for them. And it's just a privilege. So I'm going to, and it's been a privilege and honor to work with my younger brother here in the outreaches and the prison ministry. It's fun. It's good. He keeps me going. I'm the old guy, you know, and I got to kind of calm him down sometimes, but never put out his flame. We need that fire.
So hallelujah.
I just felt led this morning to read a scripture, some verses in Luke 14, which to me basically describes what we're doing, why we're doing what we do. All right, so Luke 14, starting at verse 16. But Jesus said to him, "A man was once giving a great supper and invited many. And at the hour for the supper, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for all is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses and to beg off. The first said to him, 'I have bought a piece of land, and I have to go out and see it. I beg you, have me excused.' Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to examine and put my approval on them. I beg you, have me excused.' And another said, 'I have married a wife, and because of this I am unable to come.' So the servant came and reported these answers to his master. Then the master of the house said in wrath to his servant, 'Go quickly into the great streets and the small streets of the city, and bring in here the poor and the disabled and the blind and the lame.' And the servant returning said, 'Sir, what you have commanded me to do has been done, and yet there is room.' Then the master said to the servant, 'Go out into the highways and hedges and urge and constrain them to yield and come in so that my house may be filled.' So that's a command, an instruction from the Lord. All right, so we got our church. We're all filled. It's great. It's wonderful. And we're so appreciative of having a place to meet with the family of God and worship Jesus. But these people out there, we're filled. We have what we need. God's saying, okay, I want you to go out, and you go out where you can find anybody to fill my house. So that's all we're doing. We're following the Lord's heart and going out. So we go out to the streets, and I'm sure Daniel's talk more about it, but we go out and we just try to reach them with the love of God, and just go to the unlovely, as you can call them. You know, God calls those things that be not as though they are. He sees them as beautiful. He sees them as people. I believe that the Lord's heart breaks for those that are lost. You know, that's why he died on a cross and went through what he went for all of us. We were all lost. Doesn't matter what our life situation was. So God's given us a mandate to go over those that are overlooked and just reach them with the love of Jesus.
Amen. No, that's powerful, brother. I'm in full agreement with you. What a powerful portion of scripture. Mm-hmm. And even how it was saying in the scripture to go out and fill my house.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And you know, I think some churches, right, I can't speak for all churches, but some churches, you know, I think can come to a place of contentment. Mm. Where their house is full.
Right.
Their house is full.
That's a good thing.
And it's a good thing.
Yeah.
And they're shepherding, right. Which we should. It's what it says in the Great Commission, right? To go out to all the nations,
right?
To share the gospel, to make disciples, and then baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? In the Great Commission. But I think some churches can miss, like, when your house is full. Yes, you need to disciple and teach and shepherd and pastor. That's why the fivefold, you have the gifts.
Amen.
And they're all important. They're all very important. But I feel like evangelism, for the most part, right, has and we've talked about this. I don't want to like repeat myself on the podcast. I know the last, Street Ministry Outreach podcast, I think we brushed over this topic, you know, about historically the church and evangelism and being like this, you know, step kid and being left on the back burner and not really putting in the forefront of the church like it should be. And I think that's what's so special. You know, about we're doing at HPC.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind putting a plug in. It's not a plug. His Providence Church, they're supportive of what we're doing. I mean, we get support to go out to do that, to get the supplies. You know, there's prayer before we go in, before we go out into the city. You have to have that covering. You have to have the intercessors.
Yeah.
Just as important as those that are going out to speak, the guys that got the bigger mouths like me and you, you know. No, but the prayer and the support, so we do honor this body that God's called us to be a part of and serve in.
Amen.
You know?
Absolutely. Yeah. We do honor it. And it's like how they structured, too, the fivefold ministries.
Right?
Yep. So it's like, you know, it's the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher,
and the evangelist.
Yes. And we're structured here at His Providence Church, just like the fivefold ministry.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So evangelism is being put on the platform that it always was supposed to be put on.
Yeah.
It was always supposed to be put on it, because without evangelism, without evangelist, without going out and evangelizing, you're never going to bring the harvest
in.
That's
how you get the harvest in.
You're never going to continue to build the kingdom.
That's right. Yeah, and the days we're coming to, you know, the darkness is increasing, but the Lord's light is going to increase. And I believe for years, those gifts, those miracles are going to increase out on the streets, outside the four walls of the church. That's what Jesus did when he walked. You know, most of his miracles, most of what he sent his disciples to do was out there when he sent them out, the 72, when he sent, you know, the laborers out.
Mm.
So, you know, it's what Jesus went to the cross for again.
Amen.
You know, somebody told us about the Lord. Somebody planted seeds in our heart. And we don't, you know, there are people that sometimes we see accept Jesus right then and there, but we also know we're planting seeds. But a lot of those seeds that have been planted in former years with a lot of these guys and gals out there, they're ready to be harvested, you know. And I think we've talked about before, we just go up to people, give them a little bag with some toiletries, Gospel of John, some other items, and 99% of the time when we ask them if they pray for them, they say yes.
Yeah.
you know, just because they're being neglected. You know, it's just they and again, people say, well, it's their fault. It doesn't matter. It's our fault too. Everything that we did to offend the Lord before we got saved. So
yeah,
wow. I get it's a privilege. It's a privilege from the King to say, I'm sending out, we're ambassadors of Christ. So we are to go represent him, to present Jesus out there. And so we have no fear when we go out. He goes with us. And he's got his angels watching over us.
Amen to that, brother. And
what's the scripture also say? There's more joy in heaven over the one that turns to him than the 99 already. So did I take your scripture?
No.
I don't want to steal your thunder, man.
No, you're not. I was going to read that. See that? And I never even share that with you.
I
was going to read that. That's why we're yoked together, and that's why we're doing this work together.
Amen.
And so I did want to share out of Luke 15, the lost sheep. Such a powerful scripture, like what you read too. And there's so many, right? Another powerful portion of scripture that I think about evangelism and the Lord's heart to evangelize and to reach the lost is the Samaritan woman at the well.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So powerful.
Right. And he met her at where she was at.
That's right.
He talked about her situation.
That's right.
Before he did anything else.
Yeah.
You know, that's the heart of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. It is. Yeah. It is. So in Luke 15, the lost sheep, right, Jesus says, what man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it?
Mm-hmm.
When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who need no repentance.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen. I know.
Wow.
I know. You look at it, you know, it's easy to just... Not gloss over, but not really focus on certain things that Jesus said.
Yeah.
You know, and again, we're in the family, we're enjoying each other, the family of God, nothing like it, the presence of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, you know, that it's fantastic. But Jesus is like, it's like a parent saying, you know, like the prodigal son.
Yeah.
Saying, you know, I got my family, my son here, but one of my sons is gone, and my heart grieves for that. So the Lord's heart is saying, I'm glad you're fed and you're well taken care of. I love you, are part of my family, but there's others that are missing.
That's right.
And I need you to go get them.
That's right.
Go get them for
me. That's right.
That's all we're doing.
That's right.
Going and get those people for Jesus.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Let's go right now.
Well, speaking of let's go right now, we do have an evangelistic street ministry outreach that is coming up on May 4th in the city of Providence, Rhode Island. We will be down at Kennedy Plaza / Burnside Park in the heart of the city of Providence. We will be there on May 4th, which is a Saturday morning, meeting up to pray around 8:30, and the outreach will begin between 8:30 and 9, and we're usually down there. Obviously, the Lord leads it, but we're usually there for a couple hours, two and a half hours, so from 8:30 probably to as close to 10:30, 11 o'clock, and we set up down there. We bring coffee, we bring donuts, we bring food, we've been bringing clothes, you know, whether in the winter was dead winter, when it was in the middle of the winter, we were bringing coats and hats and gloves and blankets. Now that spring is breaking, you know, we'll probably bring some maybe hats and t-shirts, whatever the team gathers together, we bring down there.
Yes.
But then we also have the outreach bags, as you heard Steve talking about. They're these green, bright green outreach bags.
Ugly as anything.
But they say, I am loved, right? And not that matters, but you can't miss the bag.
Yeah, right.
You can't miss the bag.
I love it.
You know? Yeah. And like Steve said, we stuffed the bag, the evangelistic team. We stuffed the bag with, you know, a Gospel of John, you know, some toiletries, some necessities, some snacks, a bottle of water, maybe some information about our church or even other churches at times. And we just go around with those bags and people just want to take them, you know? They mostly everybody takes a bag. Yeah. And it opens up an opportunity. First and foremost, right, more than opening up an opportunity, it's just showing that we care and that somebody cares about them, and most importantly, amen, Jesus loves them and has not forsaken them, mm-hmm, nor forgotten not about them. Yeah. That's why the bag says that I am loved, right? And so it opens up that opportunity for a conversation. It opens up the door to pray with them, and which inevitably I've witnessed personally a lot of times, it opens up the gospel.
Yes.
To share the gospel them. And and I've seen salvations occur right there in Kennedy Plaza, laying hands on them accepting Christ. And this is not just like a one and done. Like you're when you're doing that, I know for me personally, I can speak on my experience. I've sat with one person down there for over an hour just talking with them and sharing salvation and sharing sanctification, the gospel, being, you know, justified through Christ.
Right.
And it's just been amazing to just see this group, this body come together to go down into the city of Providence, because that's where Steve and I feel extremely called to be, is in the city of Providence. Now, I know we're talking to a broad community here on this HPC Outreach podcast. We have hit the streets of New Bedford in an evangelistic street ministry outreach. We have talked about hitting the streets of Fall River. And, you know, that's, you can evangelize anywhere. You can evangelize in the market, in your workplace, in a school, anywhere you go. I don't want to just hear my heart, you know, beloved. It's not just targeting the inner city and the least of these, even though, you know, Steve and I, there's no sugarcoating it. Mm-hmm. It's our heart. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's Jesus's heart too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll talk just brief. The team that has come out every time we go out, it's a beautiful thing. I mean, there's no superstar. There's no, we're all a team. We're all family. We go out there and it's just a mutual for the same cause. We're united to just bring the heart of the Lord, the heart of evangelism, the heart of Jesus to them. And it's just, there's just, you know, camaraderie. There's a unity that's come about, and there's people from other churches, pastors, other people come out when we send the email out, and they show up with some of their people from their church. And it's what church is.
That's right.
It's what church is.
That's right.
You know, and you don't need a building.
That's right.
You know, buildings are great, but you don't need a building. You know, it's two or more gathered. He's in the midst of them. So we go out with two or more gathered, and he is in the midst of them.
Amen.
And it's and if, you know, if you wanted to come, you don't have to be somebody that you might say, well, I'm not that comfortable going up to somebody speaking. That's fine. Just be part of the team. You can just stand even off a distance and just be praying quietly.
That's
you know, and it all, everybody matters.
Amen.
We're all, you know, just like with a symphony, you got the guy that hits the one drum beat or the one cymbal, just as important.
That's right.
You know, so yeah.
And Jesus is the conductor.
There you go. That's right. Pretty good.
That's right. I see that.
This guy's sharp.
I do want to give a shout out, as Steve was talking about other pastors and churches and leaders and coming alongside of really what we're doing here in the city of Providence. And God's Voice Ministries, Pastor Carlos Ramirez and his team, specifically to Sister Betsy, that oversees the outreach at God's Voice Ministries. They've really come alongside us and come down with
very
a team
much.
Every single time, just about every time we've done and outreach in the city of Providence. And so they've been a blessing. What great people, what a great church and community in Cranston, Providence line is where GVM is. And just really honored to be able to walk alongside and have a relationship with Pastor Carlos and his team.
Yeah.
And I also want to just give a shout out to Pastor Stephen Mook of Generation Church all the way down in South County, Rhode Island.
Right,
but Pastor Stephen really has a heart for Providence,
yes,
for Rhode Island, for yes, New England, and actually just for revival,
yeah,
right? Generation Church's, you know, biblical saying is revive to see revival,
mm-hmm,
revive to see revival.
Yeah.
And so he is all about pouring into other churches, other leaders, other ministries and organizations, because he just has such a deep reverence and fear of the Lord about seeing revival in New England.
Yeah.
And how are we going to see revival, church? By churches coming together.
That's right.
By coming together, pastors and leaders and God's children coming together as one church,
right,
one bride, one body, and working together to bring in the harvest.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
And scripture says, you know, if you lift up Jesus, he'll draw all men unto himself, you know? So that's what we're doing. And it is God's providence. It's his providence.
That's right.
The city of promise was named Providence, God's provision, God's comfort, God's loving care. Okay, Roger Williams, I think we've talked about it before, but he thanked God for giving, for that land being provided to him and his family and his people, you know, so that was, it was based on Christian truth, the love of God, the provision of God, God's providence.
Mm,
so that's where God's called us to go.
That's right.
You know, that's where he's called us to go. He wants his city back.
Amen.
And he wants his people. He wants his sons and daughters that belong to him in that city.
That's good.
Right?
I'm in full agreement with you, brother.
All right.
So May 4th, Saturday morning, 8:30 in the morning, we will be down there, Kennedy Plaza, Burnside Park, in the heart of Providence, Rhode Island, in the city, Evangelistic Street Ministry Outreach. If there's anyone that wants to be a part of this outreach, feel free to reach out to me personally at my church email. It's daniel@hpc.church. So if you want to be a part of this outreach and you don't go to His Providence Church, or you do go to His Providence Church and you have a heart and a burden and a calling and a mantle to reach the lost in the city of Providence, Rhode Island, reach out to me personally on my church email, daniel@hpc.church. Now, I also want to talk about, Steve, the heart of evangelism.
Mm-hmm.
The class, the School of the Spirit curriculum that you and I have been leading and facilitating in the church and now outside of the church in the prison.
Right.
Now, I know that some people may think, well, isn't that prison ministry because you're going in the prison? Well, yes and no, because we're teaching the heart of evangelism, which is an evangelistic course and curriculum from School of the Spirit. But yes, we're going into the prison because going into the prison is evangelizing outside the four walls of the church.
Right. And what's beautiful about, we have, I think there's 15 guys on Wednesday morning in medium security. These guys are all believers. They're all saved. So the reality is the role of the evangelist is to equip and to raise up evangelists, okay? So we're going in there to help equip these guys that there's a harvest field right there in the prison. You know, so they're getting stirred and they're getting equipped and we're trying to strengthen them so they can have the love of Jesus, the boldness kicked up on fire to bring Jesus to their fellow, you know, inmates. And stuff.
Yeah.
So that is just as much the Lord's heart. And the Lord opened that door for us. You know, once you say yes to the Lord, whom shall I send me? Once you say that, the Lord will open the doors. And everybody, you know, we went to class, we talk about divine appointments. You know, you're called so you can be in your workplace, wherever you are, and God will give you a divine appointment to reach somebody within the person that you are, the way your personality is, how you talk, how you express. You know, people, I remember hearing, you know, there's somebody that only you're the one that's going to reach them. You're the one that God has called to reach their hearts and stuff. So this is like just widespread. It's just to ignite the fire of love for Jesus and experience his love for the lost and the hurting, rather than just getting comfortable in your own zone, your own space, and say, well, I'm all set. I'm saved. I know where my home is, heaven. Praise God. But the Lord's like, yeah, but what about, you know, your neighbor? What about that? The other family members that don't know me? So this is, you guys know this message stuff. So, you know, we're two ragtag guys that the Lord took out of the rough streets and all that. So he uses, you know, he says, become all things for the sake of Christ. So we go out there and we sometimes share our testimony, but everybody's got a testimony. You know, everybody's got a testimony. And if you're raised in the church and you didn't have to do the foolish things we did, that's a testimony of the power of God, the saving power, the keeping power of God.
Amen, brother. Anyway. No, amen. Yeah, no, you're on fire. You can keep going, right? That's why he has the heart of evangelism. That's why he's an elder. That's why he's a pastor.
Just a lover of Jesus.
That's
in
right.
In all honesty, that's what's important.
Of course.
I know.
Of course.
No, I'm on it. I'm on it. God opens doors, you know, God, you know, but it says you never lose. You don't want to lose your first love.
Amen.
You lose your first love, then the Lord can give promotions, whatever places he brings you into. But that first love is the most critical thing.
That's right.
We have to keep.
Amen. So, full agreement with your brother on that. Full agreement. I do want to share something. Steve and I have had the honor and privilege to walk alongside each other, not only in the streets of Providence, but in the prison too, with his prison ministry. And what we've experienced in the prison while going in and sharing the gospel, whether we're teaching the curriculum, Heart of Evangelism, School of the Spirit, or that we're teaching other curriculums through the Learning to Live curriculum, which is under the Hope in Jesus ministry under the chaplaincy, Pastor Tony Mancuso, or we're just going in and facilitating church services on a Sunday morning in Medium or Friday evening in Maximum Security. There's one that comes to mind when it was you and I, just you and I that were doing the Friday night service at Maximum Security Prison.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're talking about anywhere between 30 to 40 men in there. And I believe you shared the word, and at the end I shared a salvation call.
Yes.
And there was a Muslim
that
stood up and that
renounced
being a Muslim in that moment and accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior.
Yep. Yep.
So I mean that is the power of the
gospel.
Even
though he was a Muslim, he let us know after he confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior.
That's right.
You know, so
that's right.
It's just the Lord working.
How the Lord can work when the power of the gospel,
the
power of stepping out and speaking it and sharing it, the heart of evangelism.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Going outside the four walls of the church to the least of these in any demographic or geographic location and just the power of sharing the gospel to someone.
Amen.
Yeah, just powerful. Now, Steve, let me ask you this. We talk a lot, you and I specifically, about evangelizing in the streets of Providence, street ministry, the prison ministry, you know, the classes that we teach. Let me ask you this, brother, because you work in a secular environment, right?
Mm-hmm.
How has the Lord given you a platform personally at your job to evangelize to people?
Yeah, well, it really can become, I hate to say, it almost become a natural thing. I mean, you just reach people where they're at. I'll give one example. So I'm walking by somebody, and I can see the guy, you know, guy's got the long hair, dreadlocks and stuff, you know, dressing pretty classy, all that. Young guy, maybe late 20s, early 30s. And I'll ask the Lord, like I go by and just feel a little tug from the Lord. And I just ask the guy something random like, hey, man, you know, I always ask young people, you know, what kind of music you listen to? Like, it was just, I asked him, you know, because I did some work in the music business in L.A. in the early 70s. Not going to go into that story.
Yeah, yeah.
I was a sound engineer. But I'll ask him, and usually when you ask somebody like that, you know, he actually right away started talking, and he asked me why I wanted. So I ended up sharing my past in L.A., and then it was an easy shift to start talking about what got me who rescued me from the darkness of that life of drugs and alcohol and all the other crazy stuff. It was just an easy thing to shift to talk about Jesus. So again, you're planting seeds.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's been times where the result would be a salvation, but a lot of times it's just sharing your testimony, being a witness. You're witnessing who Jesus is and what he did. So there's just opportunities, you know, and every wherever you are. And I'm not saying, you know, you got to have wisdom, you know, you got to have wisdom, but it's almost like being on purpose, mindful, saying, all right, Lord, use me with somebody, you know, send me to somebody, open a door. If it doesn't happen, fine, you know, but you're kind of alert,
yeah.
You know, you're open to the Holy Spirit, you know, and God knows we're caught up with our own lives, our own problems, our situations, issues. But boy, I'll tell you, that'll put everything in perspective. You know, you have that little opportunity to talk about Jesus, man, nothing like it. You know, you're good for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because the Lord's pleased. The Lord embraces you in that. You
know? I think it's so important with that, right? Because, you know, for those that are in ministry and they work within the church or a nonprofit faith-based organization like I do, you know what I mean? Where it's like, it's your second nature. You know, whether I'm talking to gang members and at-risk youth and juvenile offenders, or I'm talking to prisoners, or I'm talking, you know, to church people or even unchurched people, you know, everything that I do is ministry. And that might not be how everyone's day-to-day life is. Obviously, it's not. With the majority of people, it's not.
Right.
So that's why I wanted to ask you, because you are a church person, obviously. You know, you've grown up in the church. You are an elder here. You know, you do prison ministry, you do street ministry, but you also have another job. Mm-hmm. And I think for all the viewers and listeners to this HPC Outreach podcast, they want to know, they hear us, all right, these guys, hey, they're in the prisons.
Yeah, they're ministers.
They're in the streets.
So they're
ministers. I can't go into prison and do this. I'm not going to go down to the streets of Providence and do this. But you can do this, even in your workplace.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what your experience is that you've shared with me at your job.
Yeah, it's just
in
available.
A secular environment, God has given you divine appointments.
Yes.
And he's precisely directed you to go right up to someone.
Yeah.
And it's actually hasn't, there's birth conversations. Yeah. People have come to church with you over that one, I know, particular.
Right.
And that's just so powerful. And I think you should speak on it.
No, when you were mentioning the woman at the well, you know, we talked about that earlier, Jesus going up the woman well and talking to her about her life situation. And people are confused. The world is getting really strange and imbalanced, and who knows what truth is, what's right, what's wrong. And when you go, and they're going to feel a peace from you. They're going to, and just the fact that you're settled about what you believe and what you know somebody, you know, like I can go somebody say, oh, so I knew some famous rock and roll people in the early 70s and stuff, you know, and that might impress some, but you know, God Almighty, the creator of the universe. Now I know you're not going to say, hey, I know God right off, but again, it's just like meeting people where they're at and being open. And again, you have the light. The darkness in people, they're wrestling with that emptiness. Even if they're successful down deep inside, even, you know, someone getting older, they don't know where they're going to go for eternity. You know, you push those thoughts aside when you're not safe, but they're there circulating. And so you're giving them some hope.
Mm.
You have good news. The gospel, it's good news. Hey, I got some good news for you. You know, there's like a whole bunch of houses that they're giving away in a nice neighborhood a few miles from here. You know, you just got to go there and sign your name. So we have good news. And so
we do.
It's just, and again, if somebody said, I don't want to be bothered, they might, you know, react negative. So what? So what? So you walk away, you know, you walk away. But again, I know when I had seeds planted in me and I was rude and belligerent and did not want to hear the gospel the very first time, the first few years. Those people that planted the seeds, they don't know what happened here to me, you know, but that's what we're called.
We are. And there's another topic that I want to bring up because it was brought up at our Providence prayer and worship gathering that we do on Wednesday afternoons. Mm-hmm. And we've been really praying into the city of Providence, you know, on a larger spectrum, mm-hmm. you know, just for the church, the big C, and leaders and pastors and churches coming together to see an awakening and revival, yes. In Providence and in New England, right? But we were talking about or praying into, you know, evangelizing. And, you know, obviously, you know, a lot of people, when you think about evangelizing, and I'm not saying everybody thinks like that, but when you think, you know, when we're talking street ministry, downtown Providence, Kennedy Plaza, you're thinking the lowly, you're thinking the least of these, you're thinking the homeless, you're thinking the addicted, the incarcerated, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? That's what you're thinking about when we, most people I would imagine are thinking about that when we're talking about hitting the streets of an inner city or going into a prison, right? But we were talking in the prayer meeting, a few people were talking about what's your take, I want to ask, and I'll even share mine personally, about I almost feel like it makes us subconsciously feel it's easier to go and walk up to someone that's holding the sign, right? That they need help, they need food, they need money. You see someone that you know is homeless, you know is down and out, right? It's almost easier to go up to them and to ask them for prayer or to share Jesus with them than to see someone successful in a three-piece suit with a briefcase or someone that looks like they got it all together, even though we know we're all broken inside to some degree and no human is perfect by any degree, but just the perception of how people look, it feels like it can be easier to go to someone.
It seems like they don't have anything.
So correct. Going there.
But the fact is that rich, well-off person or very secure person also is missing the major piece that they need.
Yes.
The missing piece of the puzzle and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, so I just briefly talk about I worked as a licensed counselor, substance abuse counselor for years, and one of the jobs I had, I did groups. One of the groups was with doctors that were struggling with, you know, some drug abuse or drinking. Another was with politicians. Mm. Another was with pharmacists. There were groups of people that were successful. And so I did a group on spirituality. They were referred. You had to go to certain counseling. And I just saw, you know, and everybody knows it, when you break it all down, they were hurting. Something happened to them because their vulnerability cost them something. And I saw the need and the openness that was there underneath all the facades of success and well-being, all the pride. All right, these guys got it broken down, but they still had a lot to be proud about. And just the fact that you have the love of God in you, you're answering something that every person way down deep inside, they know they don't have something. They're missing something, you know. So they're using all these other things to fill that missing hole. So you just don't know. You might be the right person to reach that very successful person.
Amen.
You know, the Lord knows their heart. You know, the Lord. So, right. And some, you know, you might be called to a certain sector of society. And so it's just being open, Lord, you know, just, you know who you want me to go to. I'm open.
Amen.
I'm open.
Yeah.
So, right. But that's a good addition to say it's not just the people on the streets.
Correct. Correct. You know? And that's what we were praying into Wednesday and kind of like throwing back and forth, like for the Lord, you know, to call up his bride higher to a place of such boldness and faith that, you know, that you wouldn't be discouraged to walk up to someone that looks like they got it all together and ask them, how are they doing? Yeah. Can I pray for you? Yeah. Is there anything you need prayer for? Because who knows?
And it's probably never approached.
Exactly.
Because they don't need anything.
Exactly. Right. Well, that was the whole point of me bringing up this topic.
That's a good point.
Because I think us as believers, right? And evangelists, we can, historically, that's with the demographic, the geographic location that we tend to go after. And we know in the word, it is very near and dear to God's heart, the least of these, the lowly. Matthew 25, where were you when I was in prison? Where were you when I was hungry, when I was thirsty, when I was naked,
right?
So people that are hungry, that are thirsty, that have no clothes, that are in prison, that are sick, that are less fortunate, that's close to the Lord's heart.
Yeah. But Nicodemus went to Jesus. Nicodemus was very successful, high ranking in the church, so to speak.
Exactly.
And Jesus, you know, that's in, you know, God highlighted that interaction with a man that was successful. And Nicodemus had a heart to want to know the truth.
That's right.
So
that's right. That's perfect. That's a great example. So it
Holy Spirit told me that. I'm not going to take that. Reminded me of that.
Let's call the bride up higher to reach the Nicodemuses in the world.
Right. That's right.
Right? I think that's a good prayer that we can end this podcast on in a couple more minutes. We are going to be wrapping up. We have a few more minutes here, but that's so powerful. Just the heart of evangelism.
The heart of Jesus.
The heart of Jesus.
His heart.
And allowing the Holy Spirit to really lead you, guide you, direct you, correct you if correction is necessary in order to continue to protect
us. That's right. And sometimes we can almost, like, we read the gospel, we see Jesus, and like, wow, that must have been great, Jesus leading them, inspiring them, guiding them on what to do and how he sent them out. The reality is Jesus is with us by his Spirit. The Holy Spirit's with us. So the Spirit of Jesus is with us, you know, more so because he's within us. So we can hear him in our heart of hearts if we're listening.
That's
right. You have to have ears to hear.
Ears to hear.
Right.
That's right. So, eyes to see and ears to hear
what
the Lord is calling us to.
Yeah, that's all. We're just trying to, you know. Trying to encourage you guys. We have to encourage ourselves. We get encouraged by doing this. So thank you for whoever's listening. If anyone's listening.
Someone's listening. Of course they are. So we hope they are.
Yeah.
We hope they are. So we want to end with this before we close out in prayer. All right. The Heart of Evangelism is a School of the Spirit curriculum that Steve Salvatore and myself have the honor to facilitate and teach. We do it here at His Providence Church in different times of semester of School of the Spirit. And now we've taken it into the prison and we're holding it with open hands alongside Pastor Kurt McWilliams and School of the Spirit to wherever else the Lord may take the Heart of Evangelism curriculum. And we're blessed to do that. So if there's anyone that would like to know more about the Heart of Evangelism, you can again reach out to me on my church email, or you can reach out to School of the Spirit on His Providence Church's website. If there's anyone that wants to know further about the evangelistic street ministry outreaches that Steve Salvatore and myself oversee here at His Providence Church, again, you can reach out to me on my church email. If there's anyone out there that has this heart, this burden, this anointing, this mantle, a passion and a purpose to evangelize, to further the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to advance the kingdom of heaven here on earth, here in New England and abroad, please don't hesitate to reach out to my church email, daniel@hpc.church. We love you. We hope that you've enjoyed the His Providence Church Outreach Podcast episode of evangelism. And I would love, Steve, for you to pray out this episode.
Okay.
Amen?
Yep. So Lord, just thank you, God. Jesus, we first and foremost thank you for loving us, sending your son, Father, to die on the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for saying yes, Lord, saying yes to us, Lord, and inviting us in to your love, your family, Lord. Just continue to give us hearts that are grateful and hearts that are stirred out of gratitude for what you did to go tell others, Lord, to let others know who you are, the lover of their souls, their Savior, Lord, their deliverer, Lord, their healer, Jesus. Lord, we just continue to give ourselves to you, Lord. We ask for your blessing on anyone that listens to this message, that you speak to their hearts, Lord, and what it is that you desire them to be doing, Lord. Lord, for you, but it's even for themselves, Lord. It's even to just give increase to who you are in their own lives, Lord God. So we just thank you, God, for all your blessings. Me and Daniel just are grateful for the opening of doors for us, Lord, to do what we love to do for you, Jesus. And we just thank you, God, for all these things in Jesus' name. We thank you for your coming kingdom, Lord. We thank you for your coming kingdom, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. God bless you, everyone. We'll see you next time.